Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you once again for tuning in. This is Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. I always love the opportunity to get together. And as always, Ted's at the controls. Chris is at the phones. And we look forward to interacting with you today. And it's not really sort of Christmas-like weather, I don't think, around the upper Midwest quite yet. Is it?
So, there's a system moving through, but it's kind of warmer, yeah, which yeah, so, some people like, but okay. The snow's gone with the rain.
Yeah, that'll probably change. So yes. Just in time to head out on the road, and now we'll get the snow, and that'll be kind of a challenge. So. But we wish you well, whatever you have going on. We're going to talk a little bit about Angel Tree at the end of the hour, as we've been doing over the past couple weeks, and we're excited about the great progress that we've made in that campaign. Thank you for all those of you gotten involved in that, and for others that have given to support Faith Radio, your year-end gifts, that means so much to us as well. We're honored by your partnership and your faithfulness, this listener-supported ministry. You can always find out about giving that year-end gift online at myfaithradio.com. And today we're going to talk about issues of finance and giving, and maybe a little bit about envy. I don't know, Ted, do you have all your Christmas shopping done?
Still working on a couple of details, but I'll get there. On Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah, well, that does, you will have a little bit of time then. The pressure will sort of build at that point. We're going to talk a little bit about, as we head into the new year, maybe Christmas is a good time to think about it, focus a little bit about envy today. And what does it mean, that the 10th commandment about not coveting?
Anything that is your neighbor's, it starts listing it off, and then it just says, anything.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So we're gonna discover more about that, and maybe it can be a resolution for us, a determination in the new year. We'll live with a different frame of mind. And helping us do that over the years is the wonderful outreach called Crown Ministries. And leading that organization, the CEO is with us on today's broadcast, and we're happy to welcome Chuck Bentley back. Chuck is CEO of Crown Ministries. He's a host of the daily national radio broadcast, My Money Life. He's authored several books, including Surviving the Aftershock and The Root of Riches, What If Everything You Think About Money Is Wrong, The Salt Plan, How to Prepare for an Economic Crisis of Biblical Proportions, and one of his more recent books, The Worst Financial Mistakes in the Bible, and how you can avoid them. And we always appreciate the opportunity to get together with Chuck. Chuck is, as we mentioned, hosting the broadcast, My Money Life, which you hear each day just before our show. And he's also executive producer of the God Provides Film Learning Experience, which is a short film series conveying God's principles of provision and sustainability through dramatic Bible stories. And Chuck travels the globe and is kind enough to take out a little bit of time with us today. Chuck, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Well, Neil, thank you. It's always good to be with you. It's a blessing to be with you this time of year. And as I was listening to you voice my bio there, I was thinking, I've done a lot of things in life, but I've never made infamous Mandarin orange Jell-O.
Well, there's always time, I guess. So are you looking for something new for Christmas?
I'm thinking it might be a perfect treat for my family.
There was a little kerfuffle here a while back when the New York Times they were looking for traditions in the Midwest, and they had somehow decided that the Minnesota tradition was grape salad, which no one here had ever heard of. But anyways, so if the Mandarin orange doesn't work out, you can try the grape salad maybe.
I will do that. But thank you for having me, Neil, and I appreciate the partnership with Faith Radio. It's been a real blessing for us to work together, and we pray that God's using our mutual efforts to advance His kingdom.
Well, you have that's what been the heart of Crown Ministries for 36, 37, 38 years?
You're very close. Yes, we're approaching 40 years, so this is now we've completed our 38th year now.
And the premise, the whole point of the Crown Ministries was to provide a biblical framework for our understanding of finances, right?
Well, our founder, the late Larry Burkett, was a student of the Bible and also a very practical, a very knowledgeable expert on how to apply God's principles to practical financial decisions. I really believe he was the first man that God called to sort of set him aside to take us through the scripture and understand how it applies to all of our financial decisions. And our purpose has been to really help God's people become faithful with their finances. And over the years, God has blessed our work, and we're now doing that in over 90 countries of the world, and it continues to serve his purposes.
Chuck, I know we're going to talk about things like gas prices and the price of gold and the stock market and all those things, but you recently did some writing on the issue of the last of the Ten Commandments about what does it mean to covet and how do we learn how to live rightly in this society of envy? Because and certainly we probably see it more at this time of year than any other time. It's like, well, we just have to have more. I mean, that's the whole economy, of course, all the reports, the news media, it's all they talk about is the spending side of Christmas.
You know, Neil, I am so passionate about this topic because when I think of the Tenth Commandment, I think the Lord gave it to us for the purpose of economics. We tend to think it's simply for our spiritual growth, but if you look at the first nine, we're pretty familiar with those. We're not to have any other gods before us. We're not to murder, to steal, to lie, all those things. And in fact, in almost every country of the world, Neil, there's a law prohibiting one of those first nine, or in some cases, all of those first nine. But when you get to the Tenth Commandment, you cannot find a law anywhere that tries to prohibit coveting. And that's because it's a heart attitude. It's an attitude between us and God. And it's very difficult to detect. But I believe God told us not to covet so that we could have a culture that applauds other people's success. And whenever we stop doing that and we begin to covet and feel entitled to what other people have earned, we will destroy our very own economy. And as I look around at all the things that we're talking about in terms of economic challenges and threats to where we are, whether it's immigration or globalization or Obamacare and all the other hot-button issues, I think the one that we're leaving out and the one that we should be most concerned about is what is the attitude in our heart towards other people's success, and especially when the government starts to see other people's success as their opportunity to get more of it. That's a very dangerous attitude, and it's one, even from a non-Christian perspective, you can step back and look at it and say, that's going to be destructive to the growth of an economy. And I think we're seeing that happen, that attitude become much more prevalent in today's world.
Is envy at, I mean, does that sort of come up subtly? Or I mean, it doesn't seem like, maybe a generation ago, this was nearly the concern that it is today.
Well, I put coveting and envy in the same category. We look around and we see what other people have. We start talking about this in terms of the income gap. There's a huge concern with the income gap in every nation of the world, whether it's in America or China, Singapore, anywhere I go, they're concerned about the gap between the rich and the poor and how do you close that gap. And the concern is that people will become there'll be civil unrest if there's too great of an income gap. And, God addressed that, and he addressed it through his word and his principles when he said that we're to work, and work is the way we close the income gap, and we're also to share and to be kind and to be generous. And that hard attitude, if it's ever taken out of even a capitalistic society, a democratic society, where we're not willing to share, we're not willing to be kind and help others, then it's going to create that tension that every nation fears, where there is a massive income gap. But the way to close it is not through government legislation, but through an attitude of let's help other people succeed, a meritocracy where hard work leads to a profit and we celebrate people's success and we don't try to take it away from them. The Bible does not support the Robin Hood plan where you take from the rich and distribute to the poor. It supports personal generosity, but not the Robin Hood plan where you force upon people that they cannot have the rewards of their success.
You know, I was just thinking as you're talking about, you know, those two key areas of work and generosity that, you know, we're at a time now in our society where there's a lot more people not working and not even looking for work, you know, and it, certainly there's a lot of discussion about the millennials saying, you know, I'm not going to have the opportunity that my parents, the previous generation had, and generosity, we've known that those numbers have been kind of going down steadily. Talk to Christians particularly, how we can maybe change our attitude. What are some steps we can take in terms of becoming generous in 2015 and being committed to working hard?
Neil, the whole area of generosity really stops me in my tracks when I think about this point. We are all generous. I don't have to teach anyone to be generous. What I have to challenge them to think about is who are they generous towards? Are they going to be generous towards themselves or generous towards others? And that's really where Scripture challenges us. We're you know, this idea of coveting and being greedy and envious, that's self-generosity. That's saying I'm more deserving than other people. But the heart attitude of a believer is that everything came from God, and we're only giving to others and giving back to the Lord what he's already given to us. And, you know, you see this at Christmas. Like if we give, I have two boys still at home. If I give one of them a present, I can't imagine he would not want to share it with his brother, that they would both be able to enjoy that because I gave it to them. You know, and that's the way the Lord looks at his children. Hey, Neil, I gave that to you, or I gave that to Chuck. I wanted him to have it. I blessed him with it. But surely he'll realize that I should share that with my brothers because I gave it to both of them. I'm their common father. And this time of year, Neil, it's so important for those who are proclaiming the gospel, like Faith Radio and ministries that you partner with, to hear from people, to be generous towards God's work. I just can't imagine this nation ever losing those who are faithfully proclaiming the gospel, especially through the airwaves. I think Christian radio is a very important ministry to support. And I know you're helping other ministries, and you're doing the Angel Tree now and that campaign. But I just would mention to all of your listeners that if you're hearing the program now, you're receiving a gift from the Lord and from the people who make that possible. So please be generous to this station. I know you didn't ask me to do that, Neil, but it's on my heart that our partners experience God's people's generosity here at year end.
Good words as always from Chuck Bentley. We just always enjoy the conversation we have opportunity to connect with once in a while, and that's the case today. We're going to jump into some of those questions that maybe have been fresh on your mind regarding maybe it's investments or, you know, saving and borrowing and all those kinds of things. And, you know, maybe how do we even become, you know, economically strong in this particular economy? Talk Wall Street a little bit, some of those things, price of gas. We'll get to all those questions as well. If you might have a specific question, I'd like to talk to Chuck, who's CEO of Crown Ministries. You can call us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Chuck Bentley joining us today, and we'll get to one of his new books as well, talking about the worst financial mistakes in the Bible and how we can avoid them. That's a great insight coming up to 2015. Stay tuned for that and more. God gives his grace freely and abundantly, right? That's the point. Those who deserve nothing receive everything, right? That's God's grace. And we're talking today about how God has blessed us and how he continues to provide for us and how we keep the right attitude, the right heart attitude about all that God has provided for us. One of those fundamental verses that the Crown Ministries CEO Chuck Bentley and their team talk about out of Psalm 24:1, right? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And so what does that look like day by day? We'll talk about it here in the moments ahead. Chuck Bentley, CEO of Crown Ministries, host of My Money Life, author of several books, including The Root of Riches, What If Everything You Think about money is wrong. And the SALT plan, remember talking to Chuck about that, how to prepare for an economic crisis of biblical proportions, and a recent book, The Worst Financial Mistakes of the Bible and How You Can Avoid Them. He's also co-creator of the Crown Money Map. We're talking today about finances and money and investments. 877-93-FAITH is our phone number, 877-933-2484. Chuck, I want to talk a little bit about, I know one of your books, and you know you talk a lot about it on the program, about you know making money in any economic circumstance. And I'm thinking, you know, there it seems like even though the stock market is up, that there are some challenges maybe in today's economy, particularly as it relates to increased regulation. We talked a little bit about sort of the Robin Hood plan, but there does seem like there is certainly an increased burden for businesses today.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, Neil. Under Obamacare, the taxes that are placed on employers with more than 50 employees is putting pressure on those employers to downgrade the number of hours that a person can work. So we're seeing a shift to a part-time mentality, 30 hours or less, and the employer doesn't have to provide Obamacare options. And so we're seeing a shift to part-time work. We're seeing our government move to a desire for an influx of more labor, particularly at the unskilled labor level. And we're also seeing a glut of college grads that have non-professional degrees. And so with all those things sort of in the cauldron right now, we're seeing employment more difficult for people that are trying to get back into the working force, and also more difficult for people to be upwardly mobile. So the issue that we like to talk about with people who are struggling is to identify the gifts and talents that God has given you. And Neil, I was just in Singapore, and I met with a man named Richard. And Richard does some volunteer counseling for Crown. And he has a distinction of having once been a billionaire in terms of American dollars, and he lost it all through high-risk real estate investments. And you don't meet many people that have been billionaires, and you don't meet many people that can say they've lost $1 billion. So he's got quite a reputation in his community there in Singapore. And when I met with him, I asked him why he likes to volunteer and counsel with people. And he said, because when people come in and they're unemployed or they're downcast because they've lost money or their business is struggling, I tell them my story. And I ask them if they've ever lost $1 billion. And, of course, probably none of them have. And I tell them, well, don't feel so bad. You know, I've lost I managed to lose $1 billion. And then he looks at him and he says, but did you lose your talent? He said, because you may have lost all of your money, but if you haven't lost your talent, our talents come from God. And that means that God hasn't abandoned you, and you can use your talents to begin to rebuild your life. So the starting point in any economy is to identify what God created you to do and learn who, what your uniqueness is, what your special gifts and talents are, and then pursue the things where you can be really, really good at something. And if you will be excellent at what you do, there will always be a high demand for those who can add value to a company or an employer. Think about it, Neil, in your program. You're looking for people to advance the ministry of Faith Radio who are excellent at what they do. And if they're able to add value to the mission, then you'll find a place for them. And that's really the way it is in any economy. We have to start with our talents, focus on those, and then ask ourselves, how do I add value to my employer's business? How do I add value if I'm working for myself? What do I do that helps bless other people? Because ultimately, all business is a form of serving and blessing somebody else through the services or the products that you provide.
Good insight. And I know Crown actually has a wonderful service. Part of your ministry is actually providing some of that career guidance, right?
Yes, we started over 20 years ago when the late Larry Burkett recognized that our first stewardship is with our gifts and talents. He used to say, and you probably remember those days, Neil, he would say, we're all as unique as a snowflake. Discover who you are and then go be yourself. And I just love that advice. It's so liberating. And Larry wanted people to know who they are, and so he helped create a measurement tool that identifies your gifts, your talents, elements of your personality, and also your core values. And we use that. We train consultants to help young people determine what they need to study as they enter college or their professional training. Also for people mid-career or looking to change careers. I'm a trained consultant in it, Neil. I use it all the time. In fact, before I got on the air with you today, I received an email from a friend asking me to provide direction through that assessment with one of his oldest son who's about to enter college. And so I love to do it. I love to help people discover who they are. And once we know what God wired us to do, if we'll follow that, we see a lot better results than if we go out into the marketplace just trying to find a job, just trying to do something maybe that we're not even good at.
Crown.org is the website to find out more about that and the other resources there. We're going to take some specific questions here coming up in a moment, but I do want to talk, Chuck, a little bit about, you know, the price of gas. That is really, you know, making news regularly now, just going down and down, and obviously that's really helping, you know, average consumers have more spendable income. That's good. You know, part of our listening area is in North Dakota, and obviously, you know, they've had great success with the new oil production. But is Saudi Arabia looking to kind of just maintain market share, or what's happening with the price of gas?
Well, my father's in the oil and gas business, so I speak from a little bit of experience. I grew up in Texas, where my father runs an exploration company, and he's one of those men who've drilled for oil all of his life. And I was just speaking with him. He's now in his 80s, but still active in his business. And he believes that OPEC, in particular OPEC, has recognized that the amount of discoveries going on in America will cause us to not have any need to import oil. We could potentially become energy independent. And so it was to their advantage to see the prices fall so that it would no longer be economically feasible to continue to do all the horizontal drilling that's been leading the way into our new discoveries. He said that we've discovered the equivalent of the Kuwaiti oil fields over the last, several decades. In the last 20 years, America's added enough reserves to equal the size of the reserves in Kuwait. So by the price falling, that will stop a lot of the drilling. I believe the rig count has fallen almost 40%. Since the price of gasoline began to fall. So, yes, you're correct, Neil. They're trying to keep the price low enough that we'll still continue to import it, and it will slow down our march towards energy independence.
Certainly is a benefit, though, for you know, those of us maybe if there's limits to our income to be able to get that kind of savings you know, at the gas pump. That's making a big difference week by week.
Oh, doesn't it feel good, Neil? Yeah. I mean, I can't help but smile. I filled up for $2.32 for unleaded gas just about 3 days ago, and that was you know, the lowest I'd paid in a number of years. I think my total cost was about $39 at the pump, and I thought, oh, this is just fantastic. And it could put, you know, it could put another $20 to $25 a week, and if you drive a lot, maybe even $200 a month in your pocket for net spendable income. And that's a big benefit. The issue is that going to be enough stimulation to the economy to offset, you know, the massive amount of economic growth that was happening because of the energy industry? You know, it was leading in job growth. It was leading in new assets discovered. And I'm not so confident that long-term this is going to be a great thing for the economy.
We need to take a quick break. We're going to come back and get to some questions. I have a question someone wants to know about a 401k. We'll get to that and more as we talk with Chuck Bentley, CEO of Crown Ministries. You can find out more at crown.org. You hear him on Money Life every day, and you can join the conversation at 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484. We're talking money today, stewardship, wise investment, and what does it mean to be generous and to live open-handedly, and getting some great counsel as always, biblical advice and counsel from Chuck Bentley. Chuck has served as CEO of Crown Ministries since back in 2007, following the footsteps of of Larry Burkett, the founder who founded the ministry 38 years ago, and they reach around the world now. Chuck mentioned they're in over 90 countries. He's written several books, including The Worst Financial Mistakes in the Bible and How You Can Avoid Them, and we're going to maybe get to some of those as we go along. Did have a question. Chrissy had called in and didn't hang on, but asked, wants to get some advice from Chuck about a 401k, and I'm not sure how old she is, but she said, in essence, she wanted to know your advice if they haven't started a retirement yet, and what about companies that match? So what do you recommend when it comes to getting started in a 401k?
I think 401ks are a great idea, especially if your employer is matching your contributions. It's a wonderful way to be able to save money and to take advantage of the rare opportunity, if you're employed, to get that additional income into your retirement plan if your employer will match those funds. Now, here's the problem, though, especially if Chrissy is young, Neil. Many young people start a 401k before they've started an emergency savings account. So what happens is they end up having money in a long-term account, which they can't really get to if they need it in an emergency without either borrowing that money or suffering a penalty for withdrawing it. So I like to recommend to young people that they start their emergency savings fund first. Real simple, you save $1,000, put it aside, don't spend it. That's for emergencies. And then as you're able, continue to contribute to it until you get to 3 to 6 months of your annual income that's set aside in a savings account. Now, that should not be invested because it needs to be liquid. And liquid means you can get to it within 24 hours. It's not something you have to sell, and there's no penalty for withdrawing it. So an emergency savings account comes first. Then you begin saving for long-term in mechanisms such as a 401k or an IRA.
I know that in the past we've talked about you recommend that. I mean, we're not very good at saving in this country. I mean, it used to be, not so much anymore, but you'd suggested a number like 20%. That seems like a pretty high rate to save.
Well, Neil, when I wrote the SALT plan, I was looking at all of the instability in the global economy, and I studied what the Bible said about savings, especially during a time of economic crisis. And I derived that number from studying all the famines in the Scripture. You know, a short famine in the Scripture is like a recession, and a long famine is like a depression. And, of course, the biblical epic of all time was in Egypt. It's the one that Joseph said was coming. He told Pharaoh it was coming. It lasted for 7 years. But leading up to that 7-year famine, he also recommended that the government save 20% for 7 years. And so in a worst-case scenario, I do think it's wise that we do the same thing, that we save 20% of our income for 7 years, and we set that aside in order to be prepared for an economic crisis of a huge magnitude. I didn't predict one. I'm not prophetic. But I did derive from that biblical famine that if that's what Joseph advised to Pharaoh, then it's good advice for us. And I will tell you, Neil, it's possible. The average savings rate in China is right at 40%. I think it's actually 39%. The average savings rate in America today is about 3.9%. So they have 10 times greater savings rate than we do, which means they're in far better shape to endure an economic downturn than most Americans.
That's pretty sobering, really. So is that all in liquid assets, savings, or once you have that emergency fund, then do you go into investment kinds of things?
Yeah, Neil, once you've established what I call the baseline for a crisis, which would be 140% of your annual income, that's very simple math, 20% for 7 years, then I think you stop saving money. God doesn't call us to hoard it. Then you can go into investing. And investing is money that you put at risk. It's not savings. It's money that you could potentially lose. I have a lot of people call me and say, where should I invest where I won't lose money? And I said, well, but by definition, you're going to be vulnerable to lose money. If you don't want to lose any money, then keep it in savings.
Well, by the way, I was thinking about that just this morning, about what's the difference between saving and hoarding? I mean, is there actually a distinction between those two?
Oh, I think very much so. First of all, it depends upon your heart attitude, whether you've placed dependency on those savings. You can be a hoarder even if you're just hanging on to $5, and that's because you've placed a lot of confidence and security in it. Secondly, you're a hoarder if you're not generous. There should be parity, equality between the amount of money that we're saving and the amount that we're giving. If you find yourself treating money like you're a bucket and you're asking God to fill your bucket, then you're probably hoarding. But really, we should be a funnel. Income is coming in, and there's a portion of that that's always, always, always going out. And that means that we're confident in God to provide, and we're trusting Him for our future. And we should never be afraid to give. And the woman who gave everything was commended for her faith. And she apparently gave her 401k. She gave everything she had, which was only two coins. But the Lord Himself said she put in more than all the big amounts that were going into the offering plate. So God commends us for being generous at all times.
You know, as we talk about investing, obviously we've been watching stock market. It's in record territory kind of every day. We're in one of the longest bull markets that we've had historically, right?
You're right, Neil. And there's lots of schools of thought, lots of philosophies of why we're there and what's happening. I think it's interesting you ask me about it on a day when, oil prices continue to slide. I believe that the real recovery in the American economy was being led by the energy sector, and that this is a very uncertain time as the energy sector pulls back, as we see this massive correction in the price of oil and the price of gasoline. We continue to see the Dow increase, the Dow and the S&P 500. And the reason for that, most people are saying, is because the Federal Reserve has indicated we're going to keep interest rates low, we're going to keep printing money. And I've said it since 2008, and here we are in 2014, that we're in a trap, that we're experiencing unprecedented amount of money printing, and people recognize that as money is very inexpensive and being pumped into the economy, the markets are going to grow. And I believe we're on an artificial inflation of the market, and that it's going to be corrected. I don't know when, but I do believe that once the Federal Reserve signals that they have to increase interest rates and the price of money is going to go up, I think that's when we'll see a very steep correction in the stock market.
So that always, I guess, brings up the question, at what point do we start hedging, pulling out, celebrating the profits, but protecting ourselves, because we've had times in the past where it has gone up and gone down quickly, and so do we pull out and then miss out on the continued growth? How do we balance that out?
Neil, I'm of the school of thought that consistent, steady plotting is the proper way to be an investor. That trying to time the market, trying to go in and out, trying to outguess it is a high-risk way to lose a lot of money. And actually, the data indicates that if you have a financial planner who's helping you to select your investments, that you do better than those who do not use a professional planner. And it's not because they're doing better picking stocks, but it's because they're doing better to keep you calm and in the market. Because people tend to pull out when they're afraid, and they tend to go in when they're greedy. And those are the worst times to either go in or to pull out. And so being steady, being diversified, following the God's principles of being a long-term investor, only investing money that you can afford to lose, over the long term, those are the people who benefited most from being an investor. And those very simple principles, if we'll practice them, we'll do fine. Now, I agree with you, Neil. It goes up and it goes down. And nobody likes it when it's going down. But as a friend likes to say, the price of stocks goes on sale, and nobody wants to buy them when they're on sale.
Yeah. Well, speaking of going on sale, I mean, you know, lots of ads over the years for gold. Now, that's at, what, a four-year low, isn't it? Or maybe that's gone back up recently. But it has dropped substantially, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. And I'm very pleased to say that I never got caught up in the, you know, the rush to gold. I had so many people contact me and say, should I put everything in gold? You know, they wanted to just cash out and get into gold immediately. And I said consistently that the Bible's only specific practical endorsement advice of endorsement philosophy of investment advice is to diversify. And I quoted Ecclesiastes 11:2 that we should divide our portions, you know, between seven or eight, because we don't know what the future holds. And I recommended only a small portion, maybe 5, 10, 15% in gold. And today, with the price continuing to be soft, I think people would look back and appreciate the fact that they didn't buy it when it was at $1,900 an ounce.
So is, you know, because it's sort of quote-unquote on sale, is this not a bad time to buy some if we are interested?
Well, I'm looking at the price right now, Neil, and it's $1,179 an ounce. Right now, that's today. And for about 20 or 25 years, I held some gold that was worth $200 to $250 an ounce. And I know that it's very possible for it to settle out at $250 an ounce and to stay there for a very long time. So, yes, gold is on sale. And if the market falls, gold's going to go back up. But again, I don't think those things matter as much as being diversified and being able to stay in for the long haul. If you buy gold, buy a small portion for your portfolio and be willing to hold it, whether it's going up or down.
Yeah, it's that consistent, steady plotting, as we've talked about, and Ecclesiastes 11:2, a great verse for us in a number of ways, but certainly when it comes to being wise stewards of what God's entrusted to us. We're talking to Chuck Bentley today. Happy to have him back with us on Connecting Faith. And as we look ahead to the new year, we're getting some wise counsel and invite you to join the conversation if you'd like as well. You have a question or a comment as it comes to investments or just maybe it's just some of your personal savings questions. We'll also talk a little bit about some of the worst financial mistakes in the Bible and how you can avoid them. Some good insights coming up just ahead. Stay with us. 877-933-2484. It's 877-93-FAITH. Christmas music tomorrow, by the way, in the program. We'll spend a little time just enjoying some of your favorite Christmas carols and hymns, and hopefully you'll join in the conversation, tell us some of your favorite traditions. We'll do that tomorrow. Today we're talking about, well, maybe it's a little bit about Christmas spending, but maybe more about looking ahead to the new year and say, you know, if there's one or two things that we could do differently, what would that look like? Chuck Bentley is here to help us with that. He's the host of My Money Life and CEO of Crown Ministries, author of several books, including The Salt Plan, How to Prepare for an Economic Crisis of Biblical Proportions. Not that he's predicting one, but you know, what would that look like if we needed to prepare for that? And Chuck, I'm thinking that's probably, you know, some people say this hasn't really been the best year in terms of, you know, personal finances and debt. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about the borrower being slave to the lender. If we could make a dent in debt in 2015, what sort of things would you recommend? How do we maybe get that back on the right course?
Well, you're right, and personal debt is actually on the rise in the United States, which is not a good thing from my perspective. Now, the economists will tell you that's a sign of confidence in the economy, that people have stopped paying down debt and started to take it on. And because we're a consumer-based economy, they see that as a positive sign. I don't like to see personal debt increase because I see it as a negative sign. I see it as contrary to what God would have for us. I believe consumer debt is the most expensive form of debt there is, and that we should avoid it totally if we can. But we should always have a plan to minimize our debt and to manage it well. So I want to give some some quick tips for what I think could help people get on track financially in 2015. And the first is to make giving your top priority with money. You know, the Bible says we're to honor the Lord with the first fruits of our crops. And if you think about it, the Lord is looking at what we do with money and saying, who's first? Who are you honoring more than me? Who is it that is elevated to a higher level in your own heart than the Lord? So I think it's important that we all make that our top priority. I've found in my life that when I make a financial plan around my desire to fulfill that pledge to be honoring to God and to make Him first, that I make better financial decisions. It breaks the grip of materialism on my own heart, and it allows me to think right about money. I think of it more as a steward and not as an owner. So the first thing is to make giving your top priority. Put it in a plan, put it in your budget, and just begin. You know, it's there's never a great time to increase your giving in terms of how you feel about it financially. Most people feel like it would be a stretch to increase their giving next year, but I would challenge you to do that and to put it in the budget and to begin to do that. And once you do that, then make a plan to lower your expenses so that every month you're not increasing your debt. If you live within your means, then you're able to save money. And once you've started giving, the second step is to begin to save. Everybody needs an emergency savings account. I recommend $1,000 and then increasing it, as we said earlier, Neil, to 3 to 6 months at a minimum. And then once you've established your savings account, then you need to begin attacking your debt. If you have consumer debt, pay off the high-cost debt first. That's credit cards, consumer accounts with any of the retail stores, automobile loans, anything that you're spending money on that has high interest rate and no asset attached to it that may be appreciating in value. And then once you begin to pay down your debt, then you're in a position to think about becoming an investor. And as we talked about earlier, far too many people skip those first few steps that I just mentioned, and they open a 401k or an IRA, and they start their long-term saving before they've accomplished the foundational steps to be able to put aside money for the long term.
I know, you know, Crown Ministries is built on biblical principles, and that's the whole point of the ministry is to help us understand God's teaching and the important understanding of how we use money. But are there a couple of maybe verses that we have to just commit to memory for the coming years? Say, this is going to help me in terms of a framework or one that you keep coming back to?
Oh, Neil, such a great question. And first of all, thank you for in your own heart and through your ministry for honoring God's word. I do believe it's the most cherished possession that we have. It's often taken for granted in our own hands, and we don't open it and read it and apply it to our lives. But I have personal favorites, obviously. I think I heard you say earlier, Psalm 24:1, that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and all those who dwell therein. I think that's a wonderful financial verse to remember that this is not our world. This is God's world, and we're here on assignment. We're here on a temporary basis, and we're here to make His name known, not to make our own name known, and we're here to build His kingdom, not to purchase a kingdom for ourselves. So Psalm 24:1 is very important to me. 1 Chronicles 29:11-12 is another very important verse, and then, of course, a whole host of the Proverbs that talk about steady plodding, that talk about savings, that talk about how God prospers the generous person to be able to give more. I could go on that topic, Neil. I've tried to not only memorize verses in my own life, but also to be diligent about putting them into practice. I was talking to a friend the other day who was struggling with arguing about money in his home. And he said his wife was offending him. And I remember I couldn't actually recall where it was in the Bible, but I said, I know there's a proverb that says it's to a man's glory to overlook an offense. And I would recommend that when you feel offended, you stop being offended and lashing back and making an argument, and stop arguing and seek to understand and seek to get to the bottom of the fear and to resolve that issue in your marriage. And I think that being familiar with God's word and then putting it into practice and actually doing what it says would make a wonderful way to start the new year.
Chuck, we always so enjoy our time together and grateful for your daily insights in My Money Life and your writing. Glad to have you on with us today. Just a reminder again, what's available at crown.org.
Well, thank you so much, Neil, and I want to thank you for your partnership with us and for Faith Radio. I know this is an important time of year for all of you, and I do encourage those who appreciate My Money Life to give to Faith Radio. You make it possible for us to have an outreach, and we consider you our partner. And so I would not only point people to crown.org to learn about the resources there, but also to just encourage them to be a great partner with you. But at crown.org, people can find our new resource called Crown Connect. They can subscribe for a small monthly fee to have access to all of our online materials. It's the first time we've ever been able to do that. You don't have to order a book. You don't have to leave your home and go to the bookstore. You can go online, and we have over 50 hours of training there on budgeting, debt reduction, many of the things we've talked about here today. They're available online, so I would encourage people to check that out. And thank you so much, Neil. I really do sincerely appreciate your ministry, and I sincerely do hope that those who are listening recognize what a opportunity they have to be a partner with you in ministry.
Chuck Bentley, CEO of Crown Ministries. It's always a joy to spend some time with Chuck. I wish you blessings to you and your family this Christmas, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next year.
Merry Christmas to you, Neil. God bless you and your staff.
Chuck Bentley joining us today on Connecting Faith. If you missed part of the show today, I'd like to pass it on to a friend. You can go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page to get the podcast, myfaithradio.com. When you're at myfaithradio.com, you'll see in the front page the outreach to Angel Tree. We've been talking about that. We are grateful for over 1,100 children being taken care of thanks to your generosity. And we're continuing this campaign here for another day or two, and just want to give you another opportunity to realize that your gift can make a difference. $84 will help reach 6 children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent.
Michael Carrion, pastor at Promised Land Covenant Church in New York City, the Bronx, shares an Angel Tree story that is very personal.
Let me tell you the story about a little 9-year-old boy. His mom and dad were heroin addicts, and they paid for their habit by taking that little boy and his younger sister up to people's homes, knocking on their doors, and asking for a drink of water for their children. Once inside, the couple would pull out knives and guns. They would begin to tie up and just rob and pillage every apartment they walked into. As you can imagine, the children who were exposed to this life of trauma and violence were damaged goods. They were lost, fearful, broken. The father is arrested. Several weeks after that, so is the mother. The grandparents of these children had rose up as a champion and fought for them not to go into the foster care system. Soon after that, just before Christmas, there was a knock at the door. There's a tall African-American gentleman there. And he asks the grandmother, "Is Mike and is Letty home?" And as they come to the door, this tall man says, "I know that your mother and father can't be here with you, but they love you. And these gifts are for you. Daddy can't be here. Mommy can't be here. We want you to know that Jesus is here for you." As this man prayed, he felt a presence come into the hallway of this project building. Years later, this young man goes down the same path that his parents went, finds himself addicted to crack cocaine. He has a friend that tells him, "I'm not going to leave you lost." He's taken to a evangelistic outreach service. As this young man is responding to that call, he remembers the visit of a man in the project hallway. Life changed for this young man. Soon gets involved with the local church and learns that Jesus stepped out of glory, put on humanity, so that he would not be lost. My name is Reverend Dr. Michael Carrion, and more than 20 years later, God has continued to work a miracle in my life. That seed planted that day positioned me to respond to the call of Christ, to perpetually serve, to reach out and to evangelize on Rikers Island. We covet your prayers here in the South Bronx. So many kids that are lost. pray for the Angel Tree kids, not only in the South Bronx, but all over the country.
Oh, that's a powerful story from Michael, and I'm glad to share those amazing stories with you. Know that because of your generosity, there'll be many lives impacted in the years to come through your generosity, Angel Tree. You can go online, make your gift today at myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com, or you can call this toll-free number, 855-59-ANGEL. It's 855-592-6435. And thank you again for your generosity. Whether it's $10, you know, or $100 or $1,000, $84 is going to help reach six children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and message of love from their incarcerated parent. And we've had over 1,000 kids committed to taking care of so far. And we'd love to just see that total go higher here in the next couple of days as we wrap it up. So thank you again for partnering with Angel Tree and with us. MyFaithRadio.com. You can make your gift today. And thanks for listening to Connecting Faith.